It seems to me that it is something of a human instinct, perhaps learned behavior, I don't know, to create those little rituals, those little things that you have to do each day. I have the same bedtime routine and the same morning routine, which Ellen thinks is weird, but that's okay. Some of us learn to cook a dish in a certain way. Some of us were taught to wash off the raw chicken in the sink, right? Athletes are the biggest culprits of this sort of thing. You see Royals players doing the same thing with their batting gloves, for example, before they get into the batter's box, or the basketball player doing the same thing before they shoot a free throw. Perhaps performers do the same thing. I've tried approaching red lights and doing different things to get them to change, but it hasn't worked yet. These are trivial and silly examples of those things that we do each day, some of which we think actually have an effect on things, like the red lights. There are things that we do that we sometimes attach meaning and significance to, and sometimes they don't. And they're really sort of okay by themselves, right? They're really sort of okay unless they start to affect our ability to be present in this world, our ability to function as God has called us. The Pharisees in the gospel reading for today had something of a similar ritual, although theirs was much more deeply rooted. Their hand-washing rituals reflected their relationship with God. To some, it may seem insignificant to wash one's hands. Perhaps they're just being germaphobes about it. But in actuality, it was significantly more. The act of washing one's hands to the Pharisees and to the Jewish understanding of their faith would have been a sign of one's commitment to God. That their desire to be ritually clean was to reflect the cleanliness of the priesthood and the temple and worship and eating. And so this was not a question of whether or not the disciples had washed their hands before they came to the dinner table or not, but about whether or not they had developed a relationship with God and how committed they were to that. Their intention is rooted in their faith, but as Jesus hears their questions and challenges for the disciples, he calls them to recognize how much importance they are putting on those little things. He draws their attention to the greater purpose of their faith. He would like for them to notice where their heart is focused. Is it on these little rituals, or is it on God? One person writing about this argues that all of their religious observance amounts to nothing because it promotes outward appearance to the exclusion of inward transformation. In everything they do, they elevate the tradition over the commandments of God, making the word of God null and void. We have these little rituals too, right? Some of us might touch the water in the baptismal font as we come in and cross ourselves. We might cross ourselves at another point during the service. We might bow at the altar or kneel at certain points. We do these things not because if we didn't, something catastrophic would happen, but we do them because we recognize that that water, these prayers, that altar, this space is holy. It's different. It's set apart. These rituals draw us to God. They focus our heart on God's. Jesus' primary concern in this gospel is about each person's heart. Are we focused on getting the little things right, or just so, while losing sight of our priorities? Jesus is asking the disciples, the Pharisees, to pay attention to their heart's desires. Jesus is asking us the same thing, inviting us to align them with God's call and God's vision for the world. He quotes the prophet Isaiah, which would have been significant for them, being Jews. And he says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Their hearts are far from me. This passage is not about condemnation of religious practices like hand washing, But it is about remembering that we do these things to guide our heart to be focused on God's desires for the world. It's not about whether someone is doing the right or the wrong thing in the right way or the wrong way, but about where their heart is. This passage is noticing our hearts. It's about noticing our hearts, about focusing on how we are connected or, depending on the day, perhaps not connected with God. Because it is not the things that we do or the things that come into us or the things that we make up each day with our lives that make us clean or unclean. It's the stuff that comes from the inside, Jesus says, nothing from the outside. But the stuff that comes from our being, from our heart, that has great power in this world. It can cause us to stray from God's love. It can cause us to lose sight of those places and that person in whom we put our trust. Jesus says that nothing that comes into us can defile us. In another part of this reading that we skipped over, he says, the food just goes to the sewer. But it's the stuff that comes out of us that has great power to do tremendous damage or tremendous good and holy work. I think it can be hard to remember this when we see things like shootings in Virginia this week. Another act of violence, another week of violence. I don't know about you, but it left me a little bit shaken once again. It left me feeling discouraged that all of this work, all of this stuff that we do to try to build up God and God's vision for this world is it really worth it? Are human desires and human brokenness too much? I don't think so. With our hearts connected to the living God and with this community, we can do the work of God, promoting a merciful and holy and loving and forgiving voice in this world. Grounded in God, we do not lose hope, because even in the face of these things that would try to tell us otherwise, we know what is really true. The question for us becomes, how do the practices that we engage in every day shape our hearts to desire what God would desire for this world? What do we do each day that can distract us from those priorities? Or how do we get closer and draw ourselves closer to God's call for us? The semi-ironic thing is that I think it is some of these very religious practices that do that. Daily prayer, daily scripture study, service in the world, probably other things. All of these things draw us to God. But God is the focus, not them. Not whether we're right or whether we're wrong, but God. And there is much that can shake us from this focus, as I've said. Our heart's desires can become the world's. So how do we, what gets in? What external forces shake the inner truth that you know so deeply? I think it might be the same for some of us and different for all of us. What are the pressures that we face that can cause us to lose sight of what we know is important? What can shake us from the foundation and make our inside sort of impure, if you will. In truth, there's nothing. In truth, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. There is nothing that can separate this world from the love of God. But it can feel like it. So how do we shape and nurture our hearts, our interior selves, for the service of God and to hold off those outside forces? This is something of our challenge and call for this week. This is what we are called to spend time discerning, how we might better connect our hearts with God's. How do we keep out that which seeks to grab our heart's attention and instead keep our attention on God? It's not just a matter of personal spirituality. It's a matter of God's mission in the world. In our passage, Jesus says that there's nothing outside a person that going in can defile them. And in another bit that we didn't read, he declares all foods clean. It is something of a easily glossed over passage. He declares all foods clean. But in doing so, it means that the Jews and the Gentiles may eat together. It means that those two cultures for whom walls were built to separate are broken down. And as the Jews, as his disciples were sent out without food on their first mission, they would have needed to be able to receive this hospitality. In Jesus breaking down these walls, he is calling us to unification as all of the people of God. Jesus leaves himself right after the story on a mission to heal, to feed, to cast out demons. He would have needed to receive this hospitality too. The outside values and pressures and forces of this world affect our ability to share the gospel. They create these barriers. But that which has kept us separated, that which has blocked us from this drawing our hearts to be with God, is broken down in Christ's work in this world. We are free to focus our hearts on God's mission and call for our lives. Some of those practices that keep us away from God are no longer. And we can become, as the letter of James says, doers of the word. Christ calls us to draw our hearts to his, and because all else that seems to be a wall or an obstacle has been broken down, we can act. We can do something. In the face of those shootings this week, a mentor of mine who was the priest of the parish that I served at when I was in seminary put on Facebook, when the sun rises, we can choose life-giving ways. It's a simple thought. When the sun rises, we can choose life-giving ways. Each day we have the opportunity to be hopeful, loving, and merciful people. Each day that we wake up, we can draw our hearts to God's and see this world as God sees it, not with those barriers and walls built, but with all of those broken down. So how might we all share that with the world this week? How might that loving voice that we know so well in our own lives be known to somebody who does not in what we do? My prayer for you this week is that you'll spend time discerning that. And consider how every action and every word, every day that the sun rises, you can choose a life-giving.